activities of the association. So give generously, as long as it's not my money. Our fearless leader, I see a bunch of them.
One with a what?
One in particular.
Oh, one in six.
At this time, I'd like to call this meeting to order. May Phyllis Jim O'Connor please give a presentation.
You all can stay seated. Please fold your arms and bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather here today as brothers of the Michigan Moose Association, we ask thy blessing on this mid-year convention. We thank thee for the accomplishments we have made, and we seek your guidance in the matters which will come before this convention. Grant us wisdom to make the right decisions for the betterment of our fraternity. This we ask in thy holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Stand, face the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to call to the podium our official visitor, General Governor Stephen Green.
Good afternoon, brothers. I'm going to save the majority of my remarks to tomorrow afternoon, but again, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to share with you this mid-year conference. I'm anxiously awaiting to hear some of your reports. Moose Legion luncheon was certainly enjoyable. We had a great crowd there. Many of you that may be in this room that aren't Moose Legionnaires, I hope before we leave this meeting this weekend, you will have an application in hand, and certainly we certainly want you to become a part of the second degree of our order. Brothers, again, thank you for what you do. Thank you for the effort you made in making it here this weekend. It shows that you care. We've got a lot to accomplish over the next year to get to the point in this fraternity we need to be. I had the chance to speak with two regional managers at lunch and looked at our figures, where our membership stands, where our Moose Legion membership stands, and we've got a ways to go. We need to encourage our lodge members to retain their membership as well as sponsor new members. Retaining is almost as important as sponsoring because we can't afford to lose any more members. You are important. Every member of your lodge is important. Make them feel important. You know, when you go into someone's home, if they don't make you feel welcome, you're probably not going to go back. Same thing in a lodge, or same thing in a church, or same thing in any organization. You have to find what you're looking for. When you walk into a lodge, you want to find a friend. You want to find a place where you're comfortable. You want to find a place where you're at ease, where you think your family can be with you and enjoy what's there. If you're not creating that kind of atmosphere, we've failed. This is a family fraternity. We are a family. Each of you are my family. I thank you for what you're going to do, because I know that when we get to International Convention, you're not only going to make this association board proud and this regional manager proud, but you're going to make yourself proud. And you're going to make this entire fraternity proud of what you did and the effort you made to make yourself the best of the best. Thank you again, brothers.
Thank you. I do want to remind you, when we have guests up here, well, when anyone's speaking, to please listen attentively, especially when we have a regional manager and our official visitor, whether it's from the women or the men, please listen. And while they're speaking, I hope that you'll refrain from selling raffle tickets at that time. There's two things I need to cover. Mac, the sports director, Mac McNaughton, would like to see all the sports chairmen out at in the hallway. He needs to talk to all of them for 5 minutes. And so at this time, would you please go and visit with Mac? And another thing, Bill Daniels wants to inform you that, yes, the convention is in Frankenmuth. But please do not send the $100 tickets to him. Bring them, and that way your lodge will be represented. Sergeant-at-Arms Ron Kaminsky, would you please give a status report? Next will be the roll call of the districts.
Good afternoon, my brothers. As of this moment, or I should say about a half hour ago, the women of the Moose, 212, the Royal Order of Moose, 193.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Don't forget, all members of the State Board are to check in with Ron to so that he can write you off as being here. And we will proceed with the district.
Roll call.
Brownstown Dearborn.
Here.
Lincoln Park. Taylor. Melvindale. And Woodhaven. All accounted for.
District 3, Garden City. Wayne. Northville. Northville is here. Okay. Livonia. Redford. Dearborn Heights. Westland. South Lyon.
District 6, Adrian. Ann Arbor. Belleville. Brooklyn. Jackson. Monroe. Ypsilanti. District 6, 100%. Thanks, guys.
District 7, Albion. Marshall. Coldwater. You'll be up here tonight. Hillsdale. Delton.
District 9, Otsego. Buchanan. Three Rivers, South Haven, they're here. Bellagio, Niles.
Yes.
Benton Harbor.
Yes.
Celery City.
Yes.
Thank you.
District 10. Grand Rapids, Sparta.
Yes.
Ludington. Wyoming.
Yes.
Holland.
Yes.
Manistee.
Yes.
Fremont.
They should be in tonight.
Greenville. Greenville.
Here.
Door. Muskegon. Or, yeah, is he out at the table? Okay. District 10.
District 11. Shrelott. DeWitt.
Here.
Hastings is here. Ionia. Lowell. 100%, thank you. District 12, Birch Run.
Yes.
Durand.
Yes.
Benton.
Yes.
Flushing.
Yes.
Grand Blanc.
Yes.
Holly. Here. Lapeer.
Yes.
Highland.
Yes.
Pontiac. Thank you, 100%.
District 13, Bad Axe.
First President Bad Axe is here.
Good. Midland.
Yes.
All right. Carroll.
Yes.
Great. Bay City.
Yes.
All right, Merlin. Saginaw.
Yes.
100%.
District 14, Skidway Lake.
Yes.
Alpena. Mayo, Holden Lake, West Branch, Tawas, Tawas, Archibald, I know you're here. District 16, Sault Ste. Marie, St. Ignace, St. Ignace. Munising, they're on the road, I know that. Manistique, here. Drummond Island.
Here.
Okay. District 17, Grayling.
Here.
Mancelona.
Here.
Sheboygan.
Yep.
Kalkaska.
Here.
Lewiston. Thank you, Ron. 100%.
All right, District 18, Gladwin. Okay. Estee. Cadillac. Reed City. And over here, okay, St. Louis. Harrison. And Claire. Albert. And Sanford. All right, 100%. Thank you, guys.
District 4. Fort Huron, here. East Detroit. Avon Rochester. Mount Clemens. Hamtramck. Okay. St. Clair Shores. And Richmond. 100%. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. District Presidents, make certain that if your lodges didn't answer roll call, that you find out why. At this time, then, we will go to New Lodge Development with Roger Wallert.
Hi, guys. How we doing? A little history first. When I took this over back in 09, one of our first ones was South Lyon, Russ Taylor. Will you stand up, please? I want to recognize you. In 2011 was Celery City, Ken and Dave. You guys stand up. 22nd, we installed Muskegon with Bob Rednick, which will be here tomorrow. As you can see by these guys standing up, this is not just a committee of one. I do need help. So thank you, guys. At this time, I have no other new lodge developments going. I am looking in some areas, though, still. Talk it up. Is that Lanny's name on that one? Okay. So, to get a Moose Service Center going, you need 35 applicants. We normally only, I ask for at least 50. So anybody interested in starting up a new service center, contact me. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. At this time, we'll have our regional manager, David Coffey, come up.
Welcome to Frankenmuth, guys. Are you having a good time so far? Great place. Ron Kaminsky, would you please tell Greg McCarty that he's on deck here pretty soon? Oh, he's here. Okay. I thought you were still out there. There's a couple things that I'd like to go over. I'll have most of my stuff that I'll discuss tomorrow. But I have some comment cards up here. To keep the agenda moving, we don't do question and answer very much, just to keep things rolling so we can get you out of here. So any questions that you may have on that for Steve, myself, Jim, or John, anybody up here, feel free to help yourself with that. How many guys are here for the very first time attending the convention? Would you please stand up? Oh, that's great. Let's give these guys a hand. I hope that the person sitting next to you will reach out and shake your hand and introduce yourself or introduce you to them and make you feel comfortable here. We're here to have fun. We're here to learn. And I hope you enjoy it very much. I'm going to be, the State Association is going to start this, Scott O'Dell here from Fenton. Where's Scott? Back there. Fenton has got this moose idol thing going on, and I live 3 miles from the lodge right now, so I get in there to socialize a bit. And they're filling their lodge with this moose idol thing. I was in there on a Friday night. They had to go upstairs and get 2 chairs. I brought my cousin Diane in with me. And we sat down, and they had to go get 2 chairs from upstairs. It was that packed. And brought a table over for us. The following night, they had 200 people in there reserved. It's a good way to bring young people and old people. You've got kids that sing. Their parents come to watch. Their grandparents, their neighbors. People join. I personally signed, I think, 3 in there, Scott. Something like 3 or 4 over there. It's easy to sign members up over there because they're having so much fun. So I'd like to, and they're number one in production for the state, they're number one in retention, and I think that this idol thing is a big part of that. It's not going to work everywhere. If it works in half the places or a third of the places, I'll be delighted. So we'll start, we'll unveil this program in August. I just want to make you aware of it so you can start getting some ideas. Some people are going to work with me on it. To try to get it going, but basically we'll start out in lodges with karaoke auditions, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it in August on how we're going to run it, and then it would go to a district competition, district presidents or the district executive board to decide where they want to have the finalists, and then maybe we'll choose 4 finalists from everything and bring them up there. I've talked to Kuwaitin about possibly having them as an opening act for a big name entertainer if they win. One company has offered to do a recording for the person that might win. So I think it's a good way to get members in the lodge, get young people in the lodge, get families in the lodge. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's very entertaining. So be looking for that. And if anybody has any ideas on that, how they can help me get this thing organized, I'd love to hear it. Sean Ronan, Benton Harbor, is he here? Sean was one of the winners of the plasma TV, and the Lodge also got a plasma TV. So somebody in Michigan did win. And have you had anybody in your states, Jim? So Jim's had some in his state, so get out there and keep signing those members and win a TV for yourself and your lodge. Does Marilyn? Okay. Okay. Stephanie, is she nearby? Ron? Would you get Stephanie and bring her up, please? Let's see. There's a guy coming here this afternoon. I haven't seen him yet. His name is Rob. He's supposed to be coming in any time now. He's got some very interesting things about electricity. I talked to the state board about it this morning in the state board meeting, and I mentioned it to a few people. But how many people here is there lodge in the consumer's energy area? Okay, that's quite a bit. I got a tip from a lady at Fenton. I was meeting with the Women of the Moose at Fenton, and the lady told me about this electrical contractor that came in and does this energy analysis. And I talked to him on the phone, and this was like this past week. And I said, "Well, where are you going next?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to be in Saginaw." So I said, "Well, could you stop by the Saginaw Lodge and do an energy audit?" And he did, and basically, Consumers Energy has these energy optimization things that we all pay for on our electric bill, and they're going to be putting in new fixtures, new light bulbs, new this, new that. I don't know exactly. New ballasts. I know they're doing a lot of stuff to upgrade. And Saginaw is going to have to pay $300 and some for all this. Their electricity savings is going to be $3,600 a year. 10 years, that's $36,000. This is just one test that was done this week. So I hope that everybody that raised their hands will follow through on this information. This program ends at the end of the year. And after this program is over, we'll be looking at the future of LED lighting and bringing electricity costs down even more. So, you know, I keep telling you, you've got to cut costs. You've got to cut costs. You've got to increase revenue. The executive board, myself, we're always trying to come up with ideas, and I think this is a great one. There's other opportunities in DTE area and MGU area that we'll be researching, but I don't think they're quite as good as that one. But, you know, anything would be great. The payback to Saginaw is like a month and a half, and then they're in the gravy. So I'll have that information in the meeting, and when he gets here, he's going to speak. And also, Charlie Blue, his brother passed away yesterday, and he called, and I guess he was in hospice, and he wasn't doing well, and he did pass away. We do have the stuff here for Ooga Ooga. I don't have anybody to do that. I just talked to Jim, and he's just got the stuff. Jim Beardsley has the stuff, and he'll get it to you, but is there anyone that would like to volunteer to do the Ooga Ooga at all? Otherwise, we're not going to be able to have it. We have the stuff here. Okay, you'll get with Jim Beardsley then, right here. Okay, thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to... Stephanie, just come up here and stand by me.
Ole, 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 ole. Ole, 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 ole.
Stephanie doesn't like to speak a lot in front of people, so I'm going to do the talking. But Stephanie is a wonderful girl that works at the Hotel Tequaton Casino and Resort up there. She's taking reservations for rooms. I understand they're going very quickly. Very quickly. So, and this is, you know, we just got here. So if you plan on going to Tequaton Sioux, I think there's only 300 rooms or just under 319 or 300. But this is the lady that you need to see, and she will fix you up with a room, and she will make sure that you have good service when you get there. So she's right downstairs. Please please come see her.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
this time I'd like to call Jim Adams up for Special Olympics. We had this scheduled for tomorrow, but we're going to move it up today due to scheduling. And we also have some water warriors people here. And Greg McCarty also, please. We're going to talk about the... yeah, go ahead. Basically, when did we meet? A couple years ago? 3 years ago? Or 3 years ago. I think it was his first day on the job. And we had a meeting in Flint, and we were brainstorming on some things to build up the Worst Warriors and raise money for Special Olympics. And we were sitting at the table, and I think it just popped in my mind there. I don't even think I had it ahead of time. I said, what if we do this thing? And Greg McCarty gave it the name Rev It Up in another meeting. And it's really coming along. We're starting to get some interest in it. We've got interest on the west side of the state now, where they're getting involved in it. And as we go, the dream of Rev It Up is to have 1,000 motorcycles converge at Central Michigan University, and each one bring $50 to $100 in donations. Not that they pay, but you go to your neighbor and you get $5. The guy that works with you, you get $5. You get $5 out of Kluzak if you think you can. and bring this money, and Capes is, John's a writer, maybe we can get him to write in it one year, our celebrity writer or something, and raise $50,000 to $100,000 for Special Olympics and Moose Charities. We include Moose Charities in this ride as a cooperative thing. Working with Jim Adams has been a great pleasure. He's very organized, and he's helped us a lot with this. And I'm just going to turn the microphone over to him and let him explain things further to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. First of all, on behalf of Special Olympics, I want to thank all of you here today for the work that you guys do through supporting us through, really supporting our athletes through, the Words Warriors, or through hosting a polar plunge, or just running fundraisers to help out the cause. We can never say thank you enough. So I just want to start with that, and I hope you guys keep up the great work that you guys are doing for all the charitable efforts in your communities as well. But here today, talk about Rev It Up, and as Dave mentioned, just about 3 years ago, the first meeting we had, my very first day, and actually I didn't even get paid for this day. They said, hey, we're having a meeting tomorrow, come on up. And I was supposed to start like 2 days later, but I get pulled into a meeting with Dave and a couple of the Words Warriors, and Dave says, let's throw out this idea, let's see if we can make this work. I thought about it for a while, see if we can make it happen. And out of that meeting turned into the Rev It Up ride. 2012, we'll see Rev It Up ride's third anniversary here, and we're pretty excited about what this ride has grown into. In just our second year last year, we had over 60 riders there, which was almost double from the year before. Over the 2 years, we've been able to gross about $20,000 for Special Olympics Michigan and for Moose Charities. So we're very proud of that and for the work that those riders have done to help our cause. Rev It Up ride's a little bit different than most other motorcycle rides. Really, the ride part of it is to ride from wherever your group is up to Mount Pleasant. It's on January 1st this year, which is traditionally a Friday night. I know we get a lot of questions about why is it on a Friday. It's tough for me to take the time off. But for us, I've said that like three times. June 1st, I'm sorry. I've spoke about this ride about three times now, and each time I said January, and I get the same response every time, so I apologize. June 1st, all right? But if we want to do one January 1st, why not? I'm totally up for that as well, but we'll stick with June 1st one here to start with. But we bring the riders up to Mount Pleasant. We have and it's always a beautiful day. We never have bad weather, and it's always a beautiful day. So it's a great day to get on your motorcycle and ride. We also encourage anyone from other motorcycle riding group or whoever to come. If you have a motorcycle, we want you to come up. It's a great opportunity to come and just have a beautiful day of riding. But and even too, if you're not interested in riding, you just want to come up and see the event, you're always more than welcome to as well. We have no problem with having a large crowd there for our reception, and even just to come and see the closing ceremonies for our state summer games is really something special to see on its own. But as I mentioned, a good question, why is it always on a Friday? That's because that's when our state summer games are happening for Special Olympics. We have about 2,500 athletes competing, beginning on Thursday and going through Saturday, but our closing ceremonies are held on Friday night, so that's why we do this on Friday night. But what we're going to do is we bring all the riders up. We have a recognition ceremony. We have a nice dinner provided by Spartan Foods, who is our state presenting sponsor for our summer games, and they provide all the food for our volunteers, but also provide food for our Rev It Up riders and their guests. And then after that, we do a special ride through campus now. For the guys who were there, it was nice, I think, to be able to get back onto the bikes. We do a ride through campus to get kind of all the athletes excited, to be able to see all the folks there and kind of, what's this roar of? All the thunder that these motorcycles do rolling through campus is a pretty impressive sound all in itself. And then the bikes pull onto the football field, and at that point, we let the athletes come in. And the athletes get a chance to check out the motorcycles. But more importantly, and I bet this is kind of a cool thing for most of the riders, who's been in the ride, first of all? Raise your hand if you've been on the ride. All right. And so, my couple little guinea pigs here, I bet one of the best parts for you guys is we have an autograph session, signing session for our athletes, where the motorcycle riders get to sign autographs for our athletes. Because I'll be honest with you, when the athletes walk in and get to see these motorcycles, it is one of the highlights of summer games for them. And, you know, they think it's pretty darn cool that these motorcycles are here and that you ride one. And they definitely want your autograph for it. It's a neat thing. The two guys here are shaking their heads. They agree. That's a pretty nice part, right? There you go. And so we encourage all the people to come here. After we do closing ceremonies, at the end of closing ceremonies, we have what we call the Rev It Up moment. And if anyone has ever been on the campus of Central Michigan University and Kelly Short Stadium, where the football field's at, kind of the north edge of the football field has a paved area with like a locker room. And that's where we park all the motorcycles, right on the field level. At the end of closing ceremonies, the MC says, "Riders, rev it up for Special Olympics Michigan." And to hear the thunder from those motorcycles as they rev up, but the sound also bounces off of the cement brick building back onto the field, and it just echoes and vibrates the entire stadium in there. And it's really a pretty impressive way for us to kind of close our ceremonies and kind of close summer games. And then the motorcycles ride off right out into the sunset to do whatever they want to with the rest of their trip there. But it's a great event. It's a short time commitment. I know we get a lot of people say, "Oh, it's on a Friday." I promise you, if you can find a way to get the day off of work or, you know, to sacrifice a Friday, it is well worth your time to come. It's I know the guys who are here, it's probably, you know, and some of you may be a little bit of a drive, but I promise you it's a special day. This year, too, if anyone comes up early, you know, hey, you want to leave at 9 o'clock and come on out, we have athletic competitions running on all day. Like I said, we've got 2,500 athletes competing in 17 different sports. So we welcome you to come on out and, you know, see our athletes compete on their highest stage that our state has to offer. But, you know, and to kind of wrap up and kind of pass it over here to Greg, you know, at first I say thank you, but our founder, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who passed away actually just a couple years ago, almost to the day here, she left a quote here, and I thought this kind of fit pretty well here, because I think it fit both what Special Olympics Michigan is trying to do and what the Michigan Moose Association is doing as well. And she said, and it was actually at one of our World Games, she stepped up to the microphone and said, "If you seek joy, you will find it at Special Olympics. If you seek courage and skill, you will find it. If you look for it, if you seek for peace and understanding, you will find it." And I think that exemplifies what we're trying to do. When you look in the faces of our athletes, you know, you're going to find peace and understanding and courage and skill and joy in all of our athletes if you get an opportunity to come and check out what we do. And I bet the same feeling goes for the lives that you guys touch in your communities or through the work you do through these charities. I bet your lives are indelibly touched through the service that you guys do. So I can never say thank you enough, and I hope you come up and join us for the Rev It Up Ride 2012, June 1st at Mount Pleasant, Michigan at Central Michigan University. So thank you all very much.
Jim said it all. I'm about to wrap it up, except for one thing. I disagree with him. I think it's more touching for the riders than it is for the athletes. Rob, Jim, it for the rough and ready guys you think we are, you see tears. You see just goosebumps. You're more than welcome to help us participate. You don't have to bring money. Nice, yes, but come out and enjoy what we do and what you see the Special Olympics athletes participate in. I just want to say I've been in touch with Chris Ecker. Our biggest problem yet in the state is communication and getting all of us knowing what each of us are doing. When I talk to the groups, yeah, we're doing this for charity. We're doing this. It's not only the Rev It Up ride. We're doing all. And it's kind of two groups of motorcycles, you know, our groups. Guys who get on the bike and ride for fun, just go out and ride. And the other ones are doing a lot of for charity. Well, I'm proud to say that our Moose Riders have a good mix. Every group I talk to, everywhere we go, they have charity in number one. And that's good. But I just went to the Legion meeting. Fun is two. But when you can combine the two, fun with charity, it works. And definitely, definitely the Moose Riders work. The May 19th, I'd like to pass it along. Chris Ecker is our contact, my contact. They're having their annual, ninth annual Moose Heart Bike Blessing and Run. I've been participated. May 19th, guys, May 19th. I only have a few followers, just found out about it a couple days ago. The Moose Ride for Kids. .org, MOOSERIDE, the number 4, kids.org. Get it on there, post it in your lodge, please. Talk it up. Dale, he's not here today, he's been there. Others have been here. It's good. I don't want to take any more time up. Moose Riders are a good thing. Talk it up. If you've got riders groups, any activity groups in your lodge, I need to know about them. He's only got 11 registered in the state of Michigan. I come up with 7 or 8 more before I even got here, so let me know.
Yeah, give Craig a round of applause. Yeah, sir. And I did forget to mention, I do have flyers, brochures, and posters out there to send back to your clubs. They're sitting back out of the Rev It Up table out front of the room here. So please pick up those and take them with you. Yes, sir. Pledge sheets are up there, too. Yes, thank you. And also, I forgot to mention that I want to thank you guys also for your sponsorship in Moose International, sponsorship of our state, or the national softball finals that we have at your guys' site in Illinois. And we had two teams go from Michigan this year to travel down there. One came back with a gold medal, and the other team came back with a fourth place ribbon. But one of them was actually from Oakland County, where my office is. And they said numerous times, and every person I spoke to, all the parents who were down there, couldn't have spoke more highly of what a first-class operation that was down there. So I certainly want to give you all kudos for that, and thank you for your support of that event. And it certainly goes to help Michigan athletes participate in that event, too. So thank you all very much. I've been tasked with introducing another group. I know with the motorcycle ride, I don't ride a motorcycle. That's not for me. But you may know someone who may be interested in riding a motorcycle, and I encourage you to go and spread the good word about what Rev It Up does and what a great time that is, and share that with your friends and family, whoever you may know who may ride a bike. The next group I'm about to introduce is called the Water Warriors, and they do and this may sound crazy, but they do a ride on jet skis that's 350 miles down the length of Lake Huron. And yes, my butt kind of hurts thinking about it. But these guys that do great things for us, for our organization, Special Olympics, they've been a longtime civic partner with us. And a few months ago, Kathy Funky and Dave had a chance to sit down with them and said, well, you guys should come talk to our membership about possibly getting involved with the group here. So please welcome the Water Warriors. So Matt and Ann, come on up.
Hi. I don't project quite as well as Jim does, but I'll try. I want to thank you for having us here today and giving us the time and consideration to listen to our story. We've heard so many great things about what you guys have done for Special Olympics, and personally, I'd like to thank you for that. This will be my 18th year as a rider with Water Warriors, and I've also served as the coordinator on the board of directors most of the time, and I am now the chairwoman. But most importantly, I am the mother of a Special Olympics athlete. My son Jason is 29 years old, and when my husband Dennis and I started in Water Warriors, Jason was not involved in anything. There was no sports programs, no organized events or anything for him to be involved in. And with the support and the help of Special Olympics, I was able to start programs, Special Olympic programs, and I'm happy to say that Jason and his friends have a poly hockey team, which is the floor hockey. They also have a cross-country ski team. And they've also been involved in basketball, bowling, and summer games. Just as the mission of the Moose International is to strive for excellence, our Special Olympic athletes, they also strive for excellence with their sports trainings and competitions. Today we are hoping and praying that the Moose Lodges of Michigan will consider helping Special Olympics through the Water Warriors. It's a great organization, and I'm going to turn this over to Matt, and he's going to tell you what Water Warriors is actually about. Thank you.
How's everybody doing this afternoon? Good. Okay, I'll start off with giving you a little brief history of my involvement with Water Warriors. I'm 25 years old. This will be my 19th year with them. Not riding a Sea-Doo, obviously, every year, but... my family got involved. My dad is one of the charter members of the Water Warriors back in 1991 when it was formed by the Wirtz Warriors when they had a winter very similar to this one. So they kind of got together and decided, you know, we'll never run out of water if we just ride down the shore of Lake Huron. But, yeah, I started going when I was 7 years old, and to me at that time it was just a summer trip as a kid, you know, staying in a different hotel for 5 days out of a week. And, you know, as I got older and I saw more about the what was really going on in the background, the reason why my dad was kicking his ass out on a Sea-Doo for 5 days and the waves and the rain, you know, whatever the weather may be, they were out there. You know, I came to fall in love with the cause. And, you know, now I'm standing before you as the vice chairman of the organization. I'll give you a little bit of background of the Water Warriors. This will be our 22nd year. We've raised over $2.2 million for Special Olympics. You know, it's been a long, hard journey. You know, a couple years ago, or actually last year, our organization really almost disbanded and really stepped up and pulled us back together. Now we're, you know, going stronger than ever. It's the criteria to be a rider is anybody that doesn't have a completely... Basically, if you have a death wish, come on out and hop on a Sea-Doo. But it's $1,500 a rider that you must raise. You must be 18 years old, and that's about it. Sound like fun? Anybody want to sign up? No, but... what we're hoping to get from the Moose Lodges of Michigan is helping us with recruiting people that are able to. You know, like Jim was saying, for Rev It Up, you may not be a motorcyclist, but you may know somebody. You know, pass the word along or give their name to him. Same thing with us. You know, if you know somebody that owns a personal watercraft or, you know, likes that kind of a challenge and has a soft spot in their heart for Special Olympics, help us with that. We also have cutouts, like I'm sure many of you guys are familiar with the Wirtz Warriors cutouts, the snowmobiles. Yeah. We have something along the same line for that, too. But forming a partnership with the Moose Lodges would not only be a dream come true for the Water Warriors, but would also allow us to continue to fulfill the dreams of the Special Olympics athletes. Up to 25% of the money we raise goes back to the area it was raised in. That means, you know, if your lodge put on a fundraiser, your area Special Olympics would get up to 25% of that money that was raised. going through water wires. We have committed $50,000 to the state poly hockey tournament in Lansing each year, and any additional money raised will be used for a grant program to help areas needing equipment, uniforms, transportation, costs, and facility rentals. Last year, we were close to being able to initiate the grant program. We're hoping this year we'll be able to cover it all. And with that, I won't take any more of your time, but is there any questions? Oh, I'd like to add that we have brochures out in the lobby, too. So if you guys have any more interest, we'd love, you know, love to hear from anybody. All right.
Thank you. At this time, Dave Coffey will cover the DNR. We have a guest speaker here, Tim Payne from the DNR. So, Dave.
Hi, Tim. Good to see you. I don't know if you were here when we talked earlier, but Charlie Blue, his brother, passed away yesterday. And he's, okay, he's not able to be here today. I know that he has a check for you, and we will get that to you. Oh, we do have the check. Fantastic. Pardon me. Thank you, Jim. Wow, that's a nice one. The, whoa, that's good. Wow, I'm going to put this in my pocket. Charlie Blue has been very dedicated with this Ooga Ooga thing for years, and what a great job he's done with that. And he's brought fun into the convention with it while doing a good thing. It's what we're all about. We do good things and we have fun with it. And are you a member of the Ooga Ooga? I'm going to invite you. Mr. Green, I think, is going to become a member. But I think we got John when he was here. Yeah, we got John. So it's a very dignified ceremony. Trust me. It's very dignified. Yeah. And once you're a member, you can't if you tell anybody, you have to kill them. Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, on behalf of Charlie Blue, Ooga Ooga, the Michigan Moose Association, I have a check here for $1,000 for you, and you can tell us what it'll go to.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be able to be here and talk about some of the programs we have and some of the programs that you've been a very big part of as we go through. And actually, I came here thinking, well, I could talk about all kinds of things that the department's doing right now. New things, new initiatives that are going on, and one of the ones that probably touches the heart of youth as much as anything is that new mentoring hunting program that we just started just this month. So if you are somebody and you've got family that are under 10, there's opportunities that they got right next to you. So there, we provide hunting opportunities in that way, shape, or form. But what I thought I'd do with a few minutes I have here is talk about a program that you have supported from the very beginning. Those of you that stopped to think of it, I think it was like just over 27 years ago, we had that real popular program called Moose Lift. How many of you were here to even remember that? Yeah, yeah. Moose Lift was one of the really attractive programs. And if you kind of go just a little bit in front of it, back in the 30s, well, we really didn't have very many moose in the Upper Peninsula. And back in the 30s, Isle Roy was having a real problem with too many moose. So we tried one of our famous introductions there, and we brought about 60-some moose over to the mainland. Unfortunately, we didn't know that the moose we brought over had a lot of disease, were in weakened condition. That moose release we did not work. So the question was, okay, could this work? And working with biologists out of Ontario, we came upon that program that we call Moose Lift, some of the greatest pictures. And that was a program, a cooperative program with Ohio, with Ontario, that we did in 1985, where we went over there and literally out of nowhere, plucked moose out of different places. Some of those moose had helicopter rides of like 14 miles to get to that main camp, and then they were driven 600 miles to get to be released in Michigan. And from two releases that were 59 moose back then is where we have a population that we have today, which roughly is about 500 across, scattered across the Upper Peninsula. All this, when we did this, when we got this going, we needed a lot of partners. And your organization was one of the big partners that helped us financially to be able to get that going. Huge. You and other groups made those things happen and made those partnerships work. So we're really grateful to be able to do that. And I'm not sure if anybody was here was actually at those releases. All I heard was stories that when they picked up the moose in Ontario, the wind chills were almost in triple digits. When they released them in Michigan, wind chills were right around zero or below. I mean, from what I heard, it was nasty weather. Understanding that Michigan, we are at the southern end of the Moose Range. The new things that I wanted to tell you about that deal with moose is over the years, we thought the population would grow a little faster than what it actually has. One of the things that in the back of our mind was possibly we'd have a population large enough to be able to have some type of a hunting season. In 2010, the legislature actually gave us a mandate and said, I want you to go study. I want you to go look at that population and evaluate and see, is there the potential for, we want a viable moose population. Is there a potential to even have hunting season? So in the end, they appointed a committee. They looked at it and studied it. And the committee came back and said, well, really the population is pretty low right now. It's got pretty low growth rate. You know, if we had a season, it would be one of them trophy-type seasons. You know, maybe 10, maybe 20 animals at the very most, no cows. What I'm here to tell you is that the committee has reported this stuff out to our Natural Resources Committee. They're the ones that will make the end decisions on it. And some of what's going on will help support that science, the surveys we need to do to be able to make sure that we will continue to have viable moose populations. Whether we actually have a season or not is kind of not as important as the fact that we have been able to reestablish a moose population. Do we have challenges? Absolutely. You know, if climate change keeps going and temperatures keep warming, like I said, we are at the southern end of the moose's range. But we will continue to study and do good work with it. So, again, I want to thank you as an organization. Actually, it was kind of my pleasure to be able to sit here and listen to all the things that you're doing. And I'm anxious to hear some more of this stuff. Thank you very much for having me here, and thank you very much for the chat.
Mac needs to see all the sports chairmen. Please find your way to Mac again. Yeah, let's have a drawing. Hold it.
Donald O'Heller from the DeWitt Lodge. Tom Russell, Hamtramck. Over here, please. Jerry Wiley, Charlotte. Tom's coming. How about Doc Stevens from Wayne? Thank you.
that it, John?
Urban USA.
For now, yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, we'll have Bob and Kathy Funky for government relations.
You can't take the bag with the money.
Bobby, come. Just stick with this. Okay, that's fine. Before, pardon me. Okay. Before Kathy gives her report, I want to say a couple words about Kathy and Bob Funky. What a great asset that they are to the Michigan Moose Association. Before, previous to Kathy coming along, we had a paid lobbyist that was getting quite expensive, and Kathy agreed to, we let the lobbyists go to save money, and Kathy agreed to come in and take this project over, and what's your salary right now, Sam?
Oh, I got like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, she's got, she does it on a volunteer basis. She is more organized with this thing, than I think, than anybody in North America. I don't think there's a better government relations person out there in this fraternity. We go to Lansing together. We get a lot done. She helps me get my glasses out of my jacket when they're stuck. I'm challenging. But, you know, Dave, no, we need to go over here, Dave, not over there. And, yeah, I got tackled. So she keeps me in line, and we get a lot of done, and we have a lot of fun while we're doing it. So please give a warm welcome to Kathy Funky.
I have copies of this downstairs on the government relations table, and I gave some to Jim Sage this morning, so I'm not sure where he put those. And then it's going to go back on the Michigan Moose Association website. Any of these bills that interest you, please contact your representative or your state senator. Okay, under the gaming and liquor sales. Okay, under gaming, I think we're very close to getting the wording cleaned up on the Keno bill. Where it says that the Moose nonprofit organizations have to sell Keno to the public, it's not in that Bowman-Traxler gaming law, which is where we originally thought it was. It's a paragraph under nonprofit licensees. So it's a requirement for nonprofits in the license section. We think it's going to be a lot easier for them just to change that sentence that says, with the exception of fraternal units, where it goes against our bylaws. So we're working on that with Representative Hugh Crawford. There's some changes. There's 3 bills out there that have to do with the millionaire parties, which will cover your poker rooms. House Bill 5436 would allow municipalities to limit the number of millionaire parties per month held at a location. So right now, if there's a poker room, charitable poker room, they could run that 7 days a week. This bill would allow different cities to limit the number per month. So if you have 5 or 6 poker rooms and they put a limit on it, they might have to cut in half what they're doing. House Bill 5434 would limit the percentage of gross proceeds that are paid for expenses. Most of your poker rooms now will charge you between 40 and 50% of the net proceeds for any event. This bill would cap their expenses at 25%. What I've heard from the smaller poker rooms is they'll just shut down. And what's going to happen with the other ones is that they're going to pass the cost on to you anyway. Right now, the poker room we use for our chapter and the lodge, they don't even charge us a fee to reserve the time that we're going to be there. But if something like this went through, we'd have more upfront costs. They also want to increase the licensing fees for the venues, and that, again, would be passed on to us. Senate Bill 881 would increase the daily chip redemption for these millionaire parties from $15,000 to $25,000. So if you're in a bigger poker room, if you hit that $15,000 in sales, you can't sell any more chips. This would increase it to $25,000. Private investors and Indian tribes are proposing 22 new casinos across Lower Michigan. Now, Dave and I talked about this. They're looking at adding two just to Lansing. And you can read about this. This was in the March 3rd Sunday Detroit Free Press. It basically took up the whole page, the whole front page. And you can go to the Free Press archives to get it. Most of us were saying we are not a destination location, like Las Vegas is a destination, you know, if you're going to do gambling. 22 sounds pretty extraordinary, but you've got private organizations and Indian tribes both looking into that. Internet gambling and electronic pull tabs are being discussed for Michigan. We didn't get a chance to talk to anybody about that, but those two are out there. So Dave is probably going to get some more information on the electronic pull tabs for sure. Senate Bill 693 was passed and referred to the Committee on Health Policy. This came out of the Federal Health Care Act that was passed in 2010, mandates that each state must design its health care exchange by January 1, 2014, or default to the federal plan, which everybody calls Obamacare. This bill would create the MI Health, Michigan Health Marketplace Act, which creates an online site where you can purchase your health care insurance. It's kind of like using Expedia or Amazon to go shopping for an airline ticket. You would put in the what kind of health care coverage you want, and then it would bring back different health care companies and how much the rates are. There's no insurance agents involved with this, and there's no tax dollars. The legislators want to get the site up and running. They do not want to administer this. They want it to be something like a private thing where you go to the site. It's not administered by the government. And then that bill was sponsored by Senator Marlowe, but you can, again, contact any one of your representatives or senators about that bill. Senate Bill 414 and 415 would require insurance coverage for certain treatments related to autism, and the Lieutenant Governor Calley is behind that legislation. Many of the treatments for the autism spectrum disorder are not covered by insurance, which puts a huge burden on the families. Senate Bill 0050 deals with outpatient copays in regards to inpatients. A lot of times the outpatient copays are much higher than what you would pay inpatient. This would cover the autism spectrum, mental health, and substance abuse copays. So that bill is trying to make them both equal so you don't have to pay more for outpatient coverage on that. Your 990 form, anytime after the 1st of May, you can go ahead and get started on that. Don't wait until September. There's information on that at the Moose website. You can contact Mardine, me, Sean, you know, get a hold of Bob, and they'll help you with it if you need it. House Bill 4099 proposes a sales tax on services. Right now, if you get a haircut, you have a lawn service, you go to an accountant or an attorney, you don't pay taxes on that. But this bill would cover sales tax on any service that you have like that. House Bill 4034 and 4032 are the ones that are still hanging out there regarding exempting qualified fraternal properties from local school tax. Right now, the way things are in Michigan, you cannot touch the school millage. They've already had too many school tax cuts, and Dave and I talked to them about it. But we're trying to look at ways to come into this through the back door, because there's another bill out there to exempt all veterans organizations from these taxes. And the qualifications they put down for some of these organizations are the same qualifications that we have. It's just we aren't a nonprofit or the government organization. We're a not-for-profit. But since we have a lot of the same criteria, including having a home for the aged and one for children, which we support with our dues money. I've sent some information into a couple of the representatives to see if we can't get in there. I still say we have to separate ourselves from places like the Elks because we are unique. And the Elks have already been turned down for this because of the contributions they make. They didn't make enough contributions locally to be considered a nonprofit to go on this. So Dave and I are still working on that. We're going to maybe try to come into the back door on some other legislation. We're also talking to them about a tax abatement that might be a step thing where you get 10% each year till you get to 5 years. I don't think we're going to shoot for 100%, but I don't think we're going to get there until the economy picks up. But by graduating these tax abatements, we might be able to get them. It wouldn't be such a hit for the local municipalities if we were gradually to ramp up to, say, a 50% tax abatement. Natural resources, we're still working on the Asian carp situation. House Bill 4827 would recommend interstate agreements to prevent the introduction of invasive species into the state through any trade, which includes aquariums, bait shops, agriculture, and shipping. We're not making much progress with getting that Chicago Shipping Channel closed, but we do have to protect the Great Lakes. There's also legislation in Washington about this, and it's just kind of slogging through. Now, there are three House bills, 4072, 4794, and 5028, that would amend the laws pertaining to operating off-road vehicles, watercraft, and snowmobiles in regards to alcohol. They want to bring anything that you drive, I don't care, land, sea, air, under the same laws as the drunk driving laws. All the provisions, penalties for all of those would come in line with what we have for the Michigan Vehicle Code. It would lower the blood alcohol level from 0.10 to 0.08 and increase the penalties for operating these vehicles impaired and add additional penalties for underage impairment, and they've got some zero tolerance in there too. The community service was, I think, 300 hours or something. It was way up there. Under veterans and education, Public Act 818 was already amended so that local school boards could award high school diplomas to veterans of World War II and the Korean conflict if your education was interrupted because you went into the war. I don't think a lot of people know that that is already out there. But they want to amend that to include Vietnam. And you can contact the State Board of Education at their website if you qualify for that, so that you can have a high school diploma issued to you. Senate Bill 1015 is Senator Gretchen Whitmer's 2020 plan for college education grants. This is going to take the place of that promise plan. Qualified high school graduates in Michigan could get up to $9,575 per year for 4 years to attend college in Michigan. This covers homeschooled children and children from private schools, too. Also, any high school senior can enter a competition to be eligible to win a $10,000 scholarship. So I don't know if that... Was that... Where'd he go? Oh, he disappeared. I think that's even if this bill doesn't go through, if you have a high school senior that wants to make a video or some kind of a little thing about what the 2020 plan would do for them, there's a $10,000 scholarship up for grabs on that. So you might want to look into it. That bill was just introduced about 4 or 5 days ago. The current administration recommended reductions to staff and equipment at the Battle Creek and Selfridge Air National Guard bases. Michigan already has the lowest number of Department of Defense employees in the nation. The current plan would cut another 673 employees, which is nearly 25% of our airmen, and would impact Michigan's economy by about $30 million a year. There's, I know Senator Levin and Stabenow are both already working on this in Washington, but you need to contact your local representatives to voice your opinion on that. We can't figure out why we're being singled out since we have the smallest percentage in the United States. In December, the U.S. Senate passed a Vow to Hire Heroes Act, which would provide tax incentive to businesses that hire unemployed veterans. The unemployment rate for service members returning from Iraq and Afghanistan is about 3% higher than the national average. Senator Stabenow is one of five sponsors of the jobs bill, and if you support that jobs bill, let your congressman know. We went over a little bit of the Special Olympics. The checkbox went to committee. They had some people come in from Special Olympics to speak to the committee about it. That should be moving soon, and there's another bill, 5232. It would modify the Income Tax Act with regard to these checkoffs. Currently, there's 14 designated organizations on the checkoff list, which is a separate addendum page to your income tax form. Each one must raise $100,000 in any tax year for two consecutive years, or they get removed from the list. So this bill would limit the number of checkoffs to 10 in a single year and reduce the donation requirements to 50%. It looks like 9 of the 14 checkoffs are coming off. So there will be, out of the 10 spaces they've got, it looks like there's going to be a pretty decent amount of room. And Special Olympics is supporting this. I'm kind of two minds that you've reduced the number of checkoffs allowed and you've lowered the money so more will stay on. I'm just hoping that we're in that first group that's going to be able to go on this, on the income tax checkoff before this gets through. Representative Hugh Crawford is holding a, and he's from the Novi Northville area, is holding a series of public town hall meetings across the state to discuss outdated Michigan laws that are no longer needed. That may no longer be needed. The first meeting was March 1st, and information about his repealer blitz tour can be found at his website, along with a form you can use. If you're not going to be able to attend and you want to say, okay, I think this law needs to come off the books, you can go ahead and email that to his office. And finally, that legislative webpage has been improved. On the left-hand side of the page, they list an index. You can look things up by bill, by legislators, by any number of Michigan compiled law. Well, if you click on legislators, it now brings up a photo of every one of the senators, every one of the representatives, and right next to it is their websites and any bill that they've sponsored or co-sponsored. So it makes it a lot easier for you guys. From one web page, you can look up anything you want there. So take the time to do that because there's a lot of stuff going on right now other than just taxes, which is what last year was. Thanks.
Didn't
she do a great job on that? I live with this every day because she's receiving email at home on all these matters, and she follows it. Even if they just change one word in the legislation, she looks to see how it might impact our members. And I think she does a fantastic job. Each and every one of you here today can receive that same information free of charge and very easily just by going to that website that we had on the screen a moment ago. legislature.mi.gov, I think it is, and you can sign up. It's really hard to sign up. You have to type in your first name in one box, your last name in a second box, and your email address in a third box. But there's some of us here in this room who can do that, and once you've done that, you can select any 1, 2, 3, or 4 of 40 to 50 possible choices of topics that may interest you personally. And that's all you ever have to do. From that point on, you'll receive email anytime and every time legislation is proposed, modified, for, voted upon in the state of Michigan. Gentlemen, we're one of very few states in the entire country that offers this kind of access to the legislative process, and I encourage you to get involved. Thank you.
How about Robert Trowbridge?
Jim O'Connor, you're up next.
Jerry Jones.
Yes, sir!
And Bob Osborne. Bob Osborne, Saginaw. Jerry Jones is from Woodhaven, and Bob is from Ann Arbor.
He might
On behalf of the Michigan Moose Association, when we had our ride there, I've got a check here for don't have my glasses,
$3,235.
Yeah, $3,200 here for to go towards Wurtz Warriors and Special Olympics. There you go, buddy.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to cover the Premier Lodge Award program for 2011-2012. The Premier Lodge Award was introduced at the 2007 International Convention in Orlando, Florida. The program is designed to recognize those lodges that truly exemplify a successful fraternal operation. A lodge must meet 5 mandatory criteria and at least 5 of 10 alternate criteria to earn the award. The more alternate criteria are met, the higher the award level. The mandatory criteria are increase in active membership over the prior fiscal year, increase in total equity over the prior fiscal year, increase in endowment fund donations over the prior fiscal year, or lodge per capita contributions to the endowment fund equal to or exceeding the fraternity-wide per capita average of $210 per member over the last 2 years. Next is the representation at International Convention, Association Annual Convention, and Association Mid-Year Convention. Fifth is the submission of Moose of Year nomination form by July 1st. A lodge must still meet all 5 mandatory criteria to be eligible for the Premier Lodge Award. And they must also meet a minimum of 5 of the 10 alternate criteria. The alternate criteria are
4 completed community service reports submitted by the quarterly deadlines. And a note on these community service reports, please send them in on time. If you work, however you do it, if you have a goal of the last Tuesday of the quarter, if you do something in that last 3 days, put it on the next quarter. There's no penalty to send this thing in early. Reports are sent out if you guys don't send in this community service report, so please, please send this in. The next one is number of preferred members. Sponsors of at least one member equal to or greater than 6% of the lodge's prior fiscal year active members at April 30th. Third, submission of Moose Legionnaire of the Year nomination form by July 15th. Fourth, submission of the Rookie of the Year nomination form by July 1st. Number five, have 2 high school students sponsored to the Association Youth Awareness Congress. Six, report a number of new and former member applications equal to or greater than 15% of the lodge's April 30th active members. Seventh, at least $100 contributed to the Safe Surfing Foundation. Eight, participation in the Tommy Moose program. Ninth, representation at International Convention, Association Annual Convention, and Association Mid-Year Conference, attendance at all 3. And 10th, representation at leadership training session for lodge officers. A lodge must still meet all 5 mandatory criteria and a minimum of the 5 alternate criteria to earn the award. The level of award earned increases with the number of alternate criteria met. The levels for the award are, for 5 mandatory criteria met and 5 alternate criteria met, they'll earn the bronze award. For 5 mandatory criteria met and 7 alternate criteria met, they'll earn the silver award. With 5 mandatory criteria met and 9 alternate criteria met, they will earn the gold award. And with 5 mandatory criteria met and 10 alternate criteria met, they'll earn the platinum award. The Office of the General Governor reserves the right to advise the Department of Lodge Operations not to grant a Premier Lodge Award to a lodge, even if the lodge has met the prescribed criteria. Reasons for a lodge to be refused by the General Governor's Office include, but are not limited to, the following. The lodge was delinquent in payments to Moose International. Examples of our monthly consolidated statement, risk pool premiums, and catalog sales invoices. If the lodge was delinquent in paying or did not pay premiums for workers' compensation insurance, and if the lodge did not seek or acquire approval of dispensation as required by the general laws of the order, if the lodge has refused the Premier Lodge Award at the recommendation of the general governor, the lodge can appeal the decision. The appeal must be approved by the general governor before the Department of Lodge Operations will proceed with verifying that the necessary criteria are met. So hopefully everybody will work towards achieving their Premier Lodge Award. Thank you, gentlemen.
I'm going to bring that back to consumers this year.
Okay.
Okay, I guess Rob's here, the consumer guy. Come on in, Rob. Rob, basically, I explained to everybody earlier about your energy audit that you had with Saginaw Moose Lodge and what a savings it was. And we had a show of hands in here of people that are in the consumer's energy area, and there was a considerable amount of the crowd. So if you'd like to speak about what you found out there, and I know this program ends at the end of the year there, and how they may contact you.
My name is Robert Agri. We are direct installers for the Consumers Energy Small Business Solutions Program, and this isn't necessarily the last year of the program, but my understanding, this is the last year for changing out T12, which is the most prevalent old technology in your lighting. And what we do is we go around writing up businesses, and we wrote up this report for the lodge in Saginaw, and we're called direct installers because we get paid directly from consumers. So you, the customer, do not have to pay us for our services and then wait for your rebate. We get it directly from them, and if there's a copay, and in which case there's a small copay, that's all you have to pay after you have your new lighting in your building. So this report, this is for the Moose Lodge 82 on Midland Road in Saginaw. And it's a long report, but basically the summary is that the total project cost is $5,147. And consumers energy, this program pays up to $5,000 tops. And this is replacing just about all the old T12 lighting in the building. And I can go into any, show anybody any details on this, but out of the $5,147, they're going to pay us directly $4,869. So the customer payment is $277, and it's projected to save $3,067 a year. So it's pretty much the payback is 0.09 years, so a month or so. And the good part about it is this technology is pretty much obsolete, and you won't be able to they won't be able to manufacture these lamps after July of 14th of this year. So anytime your lamps burn out, if you haven't changed over, until the stores run out of their supplies, you will have to change out ballasts, so you will be retrofitting anyway. So it's pretty good to end up with all new equipment, and they come. And I have literature to show what we provide. We provide just top of the line, extra long life equipment that has 3-year factory warranties on lamps and 5 years on ballasts, which is pretty much the heart of the whole system. So, if there's anyone that has any questions, or if anyone wants to meet afterwards, I'd be glad to talk to them. And I have some cards I could leave. My phone number is 810-742-3530. We're out of Flint.
The DTE and the MGU does not have a similar program to this, or it's not quite as good, or
all the utility companies have to have an energy saving program. Only consumers is the only one that has this really, the program that pays up to 100% of the cost. Other programs max at 50%. So if you have old inventory, it might still be worth looking at changing it out, but I can't get these kind of numbers unless it's with the consumers.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's the phone number.
It's area 810-742-3530. If you want to real quickly help identify T12 from T8, And there's other retrofits we do, but this is the most prevalent type of inventory people have. The T12 is 1 inch thick, and the T8 is 8/12, three-quarters of an inch, and you can tell they're real skinny. And if you have those lamps, you probably have the T-O ballast. If you have the big fat ones, are called T12s. So if someone calls me, that's the first question I'll ask is what they have as far as inventory. We do those for high bay where it's necessary for high bay, but we also do T8 high bays where, like a gymnasium where there's 400 watt metal halide, we have a really good T8 retrofit.
Okay. Just so that we keep our schedule moving, I'm going to ask Rob to step back by the back door there, and if anybody has any questions, just go over and talk to him right over there. And thank you so much for stopping by and helping us save money so we can do more good things for good people. Thank you.
Bill Daniels, you're up.
Okay, we're going to talk about lodge membership orientation. And we're talking about gaining members, keeping our members. One way to do that is to tell them what the Moose is, tell them what your lodge does, make them feel comfortable. First thing, and I've been doing this for a long time on orientation at our lodge. I know a lot of lodges aren't doing it, but you should. Welcome the candidates into your lodge. Give them all your attention that day. Thank them for joining, taking the time to attend the orientation. Make sure you invite their family to sit through the orientation. If you want to show a video of Moosart, Moosehaven, do that. Introduce yourself. Introduce anyone that's helping you. Involve the women. Have the candidates introduce themselves. And what I usually like to do is give them name tags. That way we're talking back and forth. You don't have to remember their names. It's fair. Keep the atmosphere relaxed and informative. Don't put pressure on them. Even though you heard that they might be a volunteer, don't put the pressure on. It's too early. Tell them about the Moose Fraternity's mission. Support Moosart, Moosehaven. Tell them about your lodge community service and what you do. They might be very interested, or they might already be doing that, and it'll add to you. Give them some information about the Moose Fraternity. Tell them that we don't discriminate race or religion. Tell them what the Moose motto is, purity, aid, and progress. You all know that, right? Inform them of how many lodges there are in the state of Michigan. Tell them that you're a member of the Michigan Moose Association. And then let them know that that is divided into districts, what district you're in, what lodges are in your district. If you have meetings, invite them to the meetings. Let them know if you have a Women of the Moose chapter, teen club, kids club, all those things, Easter egg hunts, all those things. Explain the officers' positions. For an example, the governor, same as a president, junior governor, same as a vice president. Explain the Women of the Moose officers, or let the women do that. Tell them the senior regent, it's the same as a president, and go on down the line. Give them a brief history of your lodge. Basically, sell your lodge. For example, when was your lodge charter? What is a charter? Tell them about your lodge building and property information. If you can get them outside, point out your corner markers of your property so that they know what you own, what they own, I should say. Tell them about any lodge policies, meeting times, dates. We have a policy at our lodge where we walk all the ladies out after dark. It's just been a policy since the day we opened. If you guys got policies like that, tell them about it. Tell them about lodge activities and the calendar. Make sure you have a newsletter, your current newsletter available so they can look at it. That way you don't have to go through the daily calendar, but tell them to check it out. Show them how to fold their arms and bow their heads when we do our prayers so they don't get caught off a guard and get embarrassed. That happens a lot. They don't know what happens, you know, if when we do a prayer, we do a memorial service or something like that. That's the Moose way, so show them that so they don't get embarrassed. Your 9 o'clock ceremony. Explain the wraps of the gavel so they won't be embarrassed at a meeting. If you rent out space in your lodge, explain it. How it works, who can rent it, when. Tell them about the Moose Memorial Service, available to Moose members. Tell them about sports in your lodge, Michigan Moose Association and Moose International, the sports programs, all three. Websites, including your lodge, your association, Moose International. Stress the importance of showing their Moose membership card when entering the lodge. Tell them that some lodges have hat laws. Be aware that you may be asked to remove your hat if you walk in. The other thing is your Moose member pamphlet. I skipped over that. Give them a packet including the Michigan Moose Association lodge listing, lodge phone numbers, lodge address. Make sure they get a Moose member benefit pamphlet. Open it up and show it to them and explain it to them. It seems to work pretty good in our lodge. A lot of the people come back because of this. They enjoy the Moose. If I got any questions? Anybody? Thank you.
Larry Dieter, you're up next. Training mandates.
Okay, before I get into this, just to let you guys know, we got the perfect gentleman up here on the stage, our OV, that I have asked earlier to step up here and explain something after I'm done, okay? It's not going to be quote-unquote a question-answer period, but I know that there's a couple of questions as to how this is going to be tracked, who's tracking it, and different things like that, and we're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Yeah, and if questions can be asked after the meeting, okay, or later on of Mr. Green, okay? First of all, I think everybody's aware of their trainers, but I'm going to run through the trainers anyway. If you're in the room, please stand. Al Lewis, he's in the back. Eddie Del Sasso. Eddie, is Rick with you? Okay. Gail Kenny, Bob Funky, Ron Alvord. I know Mike Newman's not here, and myself, for your trainers. Why do we do this? It's plain and simple, okay? It's not because we want to. It's because we care, both from Moose International standpoint and from the State Association standpoint. We got way too many lodges falling by the wayside. Why? Is because they're not paying attention to the sport. Okay? It's plain and simple. We're doing this to try to help you guys understand things. We are not going to turn it into accountants overnight. Not going to happen. But what we are going to have the ability to do is make you more aware of things to watch for and look for and the going-ons and the financial conditions of your lodges. Okay? That's why we're doing this. We want you and your lodge to survive. Plain and simple. We want all officers to know how to protect themselves and the lodge. We want you to be knowledgeable of your duties and responsibilities, as well as those of the other officers around you. We want you to be proud of your lodge and all it represents to you. Your members, Moose Heart, Moose Haven, and your communities. administrators, effective January 1st, 2012, all administrators are required to attend the administrative school three-day training, as well as the two-day hands-on technical training course, Too Hot. Too Hot is a prerequisite to the administrator school. Existing administrators will have 3 years to complete this training if they have not already attended. New administrators must complete this training prior to or within 6 months of taking office. All who attended this training in 2011 will be certified for 3 years from the date they attended the training. It is the administrator's responsibility to ensure that there is no gap in certification while he is in office and is required to attend every 3 years. Those who fail to comply will not be allowed to serve as an administrator. Lodge officers. Effective May 1st, 2012, all elected lodge officers, including administrators, are required to attend the lodge leadership and house committee one-day training. And when they say one-day training, as most of us know, it's a seven-hour thing. All officers must attend this training prior to or within 60 days of taking office. All who attended this training in 2011 will be certified for 3 years from the date they attended, as we stated last year. It is the officer's responsibility to ensure that there is no gap in certification while he is in office, and he is required to attend every 3 years. Those who fail to comply will not be allowed to serve as officers. So far, there are two classes that I know of that are scheduled. I believe, if Newman told me correctly, Bob Porn, where's he at? Bob, you got one in Flushing on the 14th of April? Thank you, sir. Mike Newman. And there is one scheduled for District 9 on April 22nd in South Haven. All scheduled classes, as they come to me, will be sent to each and every district president and also posted on the website. And before I get Mr. Green up here, Mr. Del Sasso. April 21st in Harrison, if somebody's got a pencil. Okay, now to explain one thing further as to how this is going to be tracked as far as certification goes, our official visitor, Mr. Steve Green.
Keep moving. As the plan is right now, every administrator will list their new officers May the 1st in our system. You will go on the website, list every officer that was installed May 1st. As each officer is trained, the trainer will submit those names to Sue Hawkins in Education and Training at Moose International. We will take her list of those that have been trained and compare them with the list that the administrators have put in as the original officers of the lodge. Hopefully, when we go down that list, as they match up, it will show each one has been trained. The problem I have is when we get to international convention, July 1st, your 60 days basically is up. So you need to get that training in as soon as possible. The training, as he mentioned, is certainly for the protection of your officers, your members, and your lodge. We've had too many administrators or acting administrators or treasurers that have assumed the duty of an administrator. And all of a sudden, the lodge is in disarray. There's been misapplication and misappropriation of funds. Things have not been paid. All of a sudden, the lodge is going down the tube, and the board of officers have no idea of what happened, never checked it, didn't know what their duties were, and they're faced with having to answer for all these problems. We want you to be educated as to what your duty is, that you make our check and balance system work. That's what it's all about. It's the best check and balance system in any fraternal organization, I think. Every officer has a duty, and if you know your duty and you do your duty, then everything works like clockwork. If something's not going right, it's your duty to inform the governor something's not right. And if it's not right and he's not taking care of it, you contact this man. And if he can't get it straight, he's going to contact me and I'll get it straight. If it takes a whole new board of officers, whatever it takes, we're going to have lodges that operate in compliance with the general laws and the policies and mandates that the Supreme Council puts out. The training is a Supreme Council mandate policy. It is not in the general laws at this point. I don't know when we get to international if it will be part of the changes to the rule or not, but it doesn't matter. It's still a Supreme Council policy, and we have to abide by what they're saying. They see the problem. It's been presented to them over the last 2 years, and this is the only way they can figure that we're going to be able to comply with what needs to be done. Years ago, 25 years ago, as a young governor in my lodge, I took the training. I had to drive 90 miles to sit through a class on a Saturday. Next year, I decided to do it again. I had to go back the same 90 miles. Back then, it was every year you had to be recertified. And we got a training certificate saying that I had been certified. We quit that back, about the 80s, Jim? And since then, we've had nothing but problems. Again, this is for you. This is for your lodge. This is for our fraternity. Make it happen. Make it work. Take the training. Set an example of what your job is for somebody else to follow. And when you step down, they're going to step up and do a better job than you did. And the next guy will do a better job than he did. And our fraternity is going to be around a long, long time doing what should be done to start with. Thank you.
Everybody stand up for a minute. I want you to take a break from those seats. Okay, sit down. Dave says we got to hurry up because we're all waiting in anticipation for Jim Colby's speech. Next will be Jim O'Connor.
Before I get into this one, I need a representative from St. Louis and a representative from Gladwin to please come see David C. Thank you. What we're going to cover now is administrator's school. Larry covered the requirements for Moose International. We just had a last class at Lincoln Park, and 14 went through the class. I spoke with Mardine. She's the other administrator trainer who did the class for me at Lincoln Park. Our next class is scheduled for Grayling. Before the class in Grayling, they will be setting up two hot classes. It's very important when you go to these two hot classes in this administrator class. That way you know what's going on with your LCO and your QuickBooks and anything else that you might run into. Now, there's going to be stuff daily that you might run into that you need a problem with. Well, we got our A-team through the state. We got our deputy regional managers. You know, we got myself and Terry as VOAs. We have plenty of key people out here to contact and help you. But we're asking you to help yourself. And please take the training that's available for you to take. And I realize you have to take time out of your lives, but for the commitment to your lodge and to your membership, for you to have those tools to do your job. It's well worth it. I don't want everybody to stand up, but how about a show of hands for everyone who has taken the administrator class so far? It should be a good amount. Thank you for all of you that have taken the class. And we're hoping to see more of you take it. Not only the administrators can take it, but also the administrator's assistants can take it as well. So please try to get on with this next administrator class for the some of the requirements which are set forth by Moose International. And let's just work together as a team like we do on everything else. We got a great association. So let's just keep working together. And I can't thank you guys enough for everything you do. So thank you.
Next will be Jim Colby and Debbie Palmer on youth awareness. But I do want to mention youth awareness for a second. 90% of you don't have a clue what youth awareness is about. And that's why when the Supreme Governor sends out their letters, it says that the Tommy Moose and the Youth Awareness are the two main community service projects. And that's why in the Council of Higher Degrees, we actually bring in a student to talk to you about their experience or put on a kid's talk so you can get some idea what this is about. So, Jim?
Thank you, Gary. I'll try to make this short. What time is it? 45 minutes or less. Thank you, Dave. Debbie and I have gone around the state this past October and November doing kids' talks at different congresses. And I definitely want to thank the lodges that support us with the congresses. You save our association money by hosting it and also putting on the breakfast and also the lunches. And I appreciate that because it would cost us more money to operate this program. This time I'm going to let Debbie do most of the talking because I know you just love to hear me. So Debbie's going to give you a report on what we did this year, how many lodges involved, kids' talks, and the three winners are going into New York in a few weeks.
Thank you, Jim. So you guys always pick on Jim. He's making me do all the talking today. Yay! Okay, fine. Okay, this last year, we really need to get some more participation from these lodges. Please. This is a really great community service and it does so much for the kids, for the younger kids that get to hear the talks, for the older kids that get scholarships and the things that they get out of it. You really need to push this. It doesn't cost you anything. You can do it. I know you can. We had 22 lodges that sent kids this year. 22. You guys can do better than that. I know you can. Okay. 22 lodges. We have certificates from Moose International. We'll have them down here at this table when we're done. I'm just going to call off your names right now. We had Albion, Bad Axe, Birch Run, Carroll, Greenville, Holly, Lincoln Park, Mayo, Richmond, Sparta, Wyoming, Ann Arbor, Bay City, Brooklyn, Flushing, Harrison, Houghton Lake, Marshall, Redford, excuse me, South Haven, Taylor, and Ypsilanti. Give yourselves a hand. You guys were wonderful. Next year, I expect a lot more lodges to have kids there. It won't hurt you, I promise. It's really painless. Okay. We had, of the kids that went through it, we had 9 that actually did talks. They did a total of 130 talks. They talked to 2,703 kids. So there's over 2,000 little children, 4 to 9-year-olds, that got the message of nutrition, bullying, gun safety, fire safety, because the kids can talk about whatever they want. So these kids got the information and it made their lives better. And we need to get the message out to more children. I really believe in this program. I really do. Okay, next year, I think we're going to have them at the same place. The dates will be different. than what I have on my sheet, but I'm just going to tell you, well, they'll be at Marshall, Flushing, South Haven, Harrison, Dearborn Heights, Richmond, and Ann Arbor. Write those lodges down. That's where the congresses are going to be. That's where you're going to have to get your teenagers at. Like I said, go to the high schools. Go to the counseling offices. The parents do not have to be Moose members for the kids to go through this. Go to the counseling office. Ask for the kids that are in the sports, the kids that are on the honor roll, the kids that want to do something and want to go ahead, because those are going to be the ones that are going to be more apt to go out and do the talks, because they're going to want the scholarship money. And we have thousands of dollars to give away that's just sitting there waiting for kids to come claim it. So, you guys are going to go out and do a little work for me? Huh? Come on. Yeah, you're going to go out and do a little work for me? You're going to get some kids to go out and do some talks? Yeah. Wake up, gentlemen. I think it's nap time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Debbie. As she mentioned, we only had 9 students that ended up doing kids talks, and Bay City, South Haven, Houghton Lake, Redford, Sparta, Carroll, Bad Axe, Bay City again had another one, and Ipsy. 9 students out of, 69 students that took the Congress classes. Like I said, this has probably been the worst. I don't know what the problem is. I appeal to each one of you every October or every August at the UP convention. How many last year heard Emily Garrett at the convention? I'll tell you what. I have her report down here again. She is going to the International Congress again. You want to see a folder? Thank you, Bob. She is going South Haven. Erin White, she has gone, went last year. And this year we have a new one, Brittany Garcia out of Bay City. These are the 3 that will be going to White Plains, New York, the end of April. I don't know how to emphasize on how important youth awareness is. As you see, it's part of the Premier Award. You heard Eddie up, or Lanny, wherever you went. You know, we give back 20 cents per member just for having students in our 6-point program. It doesn't cost you guys a dime to go out and get 2 students. We've been doing this for many years. I know we used to be about 50-60%. This year, we're just a little over 20% of lodges. That means somebody is not doing their job. The best thing about this program, years ago, we had nothing. We had no program set up, implement, that they could come up with money through savings bonds. Right now, if they do 3 kids talks, they get $100 savings bond. We got scholarships, and you're going to hear that tomorrow. We're going to have a $1,000 scholarship thanks to the higher degree. Each higher degree put $100 because they care, and that's part of their mission. Thanks to the other organizations, the bowling, the golf, that's donated money. That's where the money comes up. John's done it for years, giving us money from the bowling, too. This is where the money comes from. We got scholarships out there. Don't tell me that these kids are not looking for scholarship money. Let's go out and do our job. Spend the time. Every lodge must have somebody in their lodge that has kids or grandkids or nephews or nieces. You know, I send this form out usually about June. I don't see a lot of newsletters. I don't think I've seen more than 4 or 5 of you put this in your newsletter, that we have incentive programs for the students when they go out to do kids talks. And especially international, thanks to the Legion of the Moose. they've come up now with $30,000 that you guys as Legionnaires put in, 50 cents a member. Top prize, $12,000, $8,000, $5,000, $3,000, and $2,000. The programs we have out there, I don't know why we don't take the time to get our youth involved in this type of program. I can sit up here all day, I guess, but I think it's up to you to take the challenge now. You've got all summer to work on it. You're going to be getting this letter, especially administrators. Put this in your newsletter. Follow through. If you've got problems with schools, call me. I'll talk to them. I probably talked to 15 or 20 schools. When I told them we had scholarship money, sometimes they listen. Some schools said, we don't have drug problems. We don't need another program. But if we're giving scholarships, the counselors in their junior year are looking for scholarship money. We have it. This state does. Very few states have it. Because this state cares. Also, I've talked to somebody this week. I got some brochures. I don't know if he's in the room or not. I forgot who it was. Now I got it written down at home. There's some brochures I've got here you can take and take to your school so you can get ready for this fall. So like I said, I'm not going to stand here and harp anymore, but I need your help. Debbie and I spend a lot of time on weekends together, almost inseparable there for 2 months. But we both care about this program. I think it's one of the most challenging programs. I don't know how many cards and letters and thank you, and you've seen some of them in the Moose Connection of the students that really care, that we care. Dan Bessie's back there, too. Anybody has any checks for community service? Dan is back there today. John's back there doing the endowment, and Jim's here doing the calendars and the $100 ticket. So you can relieve yourself of all them checks when you have time. Other than that, that ends the report of the Youth Awareness Program.
Sean, you're up next, and then Al Lewis. Let's have a drawing. Two or three. Al Lewis is on that, yeah.
Bruce Monroe from Lowell. Lonnie Munjan, Saginaw. Ellis Conley, Ionia. And John L. Burdick, Dalton.
All right, guys, I'm going to try and make this rather quick. The two-day hands-on technical training. This is, like we said earlier, required for all administrators. You do have to take the class, especially before administrator school. Anybody else that would like to take it, the treasurers are encouraged. If anything does happen to the administrator, of course, you are the next one to step in. So it's best off to know something about it before you get thrust into the position. Board members, you are more than welcome to attend the class. We can have you bring a computer with you, bring the office computer. We'll load up the training session onto it so you'll actually learn how to use QuickBooks and also the membership program. It's usually a day on membership, sometimes a little less, and then a day or a little more on the QuickBooks. Yes, you won't be an expert by the time you leave, but at least you'll have a grasp on the program so you know how to do your job or to do your office. Same thing for audit committees. Anyone on the audit committee is more than welcome to take the class. So when you need to do an audit, you can step in and actually know how to use the program and not rely on the administrator or someone else to pull up their numbers for you. really, that's about all I have. Each class will be scheduled, and you'll find it on the state website, along with the leadership classes. It's under education and training, so if you want to see where the local classes will be, there's several of us that will be planning them. And I think that's about all I have. Thank you much.
Al Lewis.
Okay, we'll try and get this going real quick here. See, we're all in a hurry. In conclusion, okay, I'm not going to get into a big exam, big report today, but the bottom line is we've only got about 15 lodges in the state right now that are ahead of where they started the year. Now, that's not in retention. That's in retention and new members. Every other lodge in the state is behind where you started. So we're losing a lot of members, and we're also not picking up the slack on the new member side. I'll leave that to Dave. But okay, the end of this month, we are going to really take a hit. Every year it's the same thing. March 31st, we have our biggest turnover of dues coming due. Try and get on top of this now. The information's available on the website or on your programs for the administrators. When you see the delinquent list, take a look at the sponsors. I think you're going to find that most of the lodges, you will have one sponsor who's responsible for 20 to 25% of your delinquents because he's the one who signed them all in the first place. Get a hold of that sponsor and get him to help you. When you look at some of your other delinquents, look at their sponsors. As if it's somebody who comes in on a regular basis, work with him to get the guy back up and current. Other than that, I'm just going to turn it over to Dave. And thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Well, let's get to it because we're going to have a real kick in the pants at the end of the month.
Okay, I want to talk about our good standing members, membership production, and retention tied into what Al has there. We have got the best tools to sign new members that I've ever seen as being a Moose member. I mean, you sign two members, you get a member for free. The one guy that I signed at Fenton, it wasn't a week. He had two friends in there that he signed, and he was proud that he got his dues for free. And then he got his friend working on it. And but the reason that they were in there is because they had activities to come to, that they were in there having fun. And we've got to have a nice environment, a friendly environment. Our servers, volunteer or employees, need to have a smile on their face when they come in and push our programs that we have, let people know about them. Let them know that they can save money on their natural gas, on all these other different things that we do, that it actually pays to be a Moose member. That their $35, $45 dues, they're going to save $100, $150. So we need to communicate that more. What I'm really concerned about is many years we've had an increase in good standing members in the state. Last year we did not hit it. And right now we're about 1,000 members away from our number that we ended with in the last fiscal year. We will sign more than 1,000 members in the coming month and the remainder of this month in April. We'll probably sign many more than 1,000. I think last year we did over 1,500, 1,600. There's no reason why we can't do 2,000 or more this year for production. But the big thing is March 31st is when we drop. It's one of our big drop months. So I've been getting information out to the lodges, and I want to apologize to you guys. I started doing it on a daily basis with Jim Sage helping me, and I understood that I started filling your mailboxes up with information. I'm just trying to give you every tool that you can use. How many people have been billed for their dues? How many of those have paid? How many have not for March 31st? So you can look at it before it happens. If you see somebody in the lodge, and, you know, have a list there. Hey, Joe, you know, you haven't got your dues yet. You want to pay them online here? If you pay attention to that now, you don't have to go back and clean it up so much in April. but the drops could be devastating on March 31st. So we have to prepare for that and try to be proactive when we get back to the lodge. When you guys go back home and you're back in your lodges, let's start on it before the end of the month and get a group of people together to contact these people during the month of April to make sure that they get in. Nothing would please me more than to be able to say that we had an increase in good standing members. It does look like the fraternity as a whole is tracking towards an increase in good standing members. Jim Hale and Steve and I were going over some numbers earlier. What are we, 5,000 down from Jim last year? We're 5,000 down. We're gaining about 1,000 members a day fraternity-wide. So then we've got that March 31st drop, which could be significant, and we're all going to have to pitch in and get back there. But it would be a wonderful thing to see the fraternity gain, and it would be a great thing to see Michigan have a gain there. So I'm going to leave you with those thoughts on that, and I hope that you will be proactive on it and don't wonder what happened on May 1st. Attack it in this month and next month, please.
Jim Colby, Tommy Moose. Okay. John Tate. Endowment Fund. Yeah. Sean, can you get right there behind you? Thanks.
We got it now. I believe I'm probably the last one, so I won't keep you too darn long. Actually, what I really want to do is thank each and every one of you for a job this past year that you have done with the endowment fund. I realize that our lodges are hurting for money, but you didn't let our Twin Cities down. Last year, you ended up with a total of $83,121.82, and our average has been $80,000. This year, we're moving right along. We got a total of $70,000 so far. That's not, plus, the Creole Fund was $10,000, so it's all totaled to $70,000. Give yourself a hand, guys. Wonderful job. As I said, I won't keep you too long, so take care and enjoy the convention.
You know what, guys? John Tate has had some health issues, and he still calls me on the phone and asks me what he can do. And what a trooper he is throughout his health difficulties. Let's give him another hand, please.
We're going to have Bob Porn, and then we'll do 50-50s.
This report's been waiting for all day. The last one. Establishing an effective auditing committee. To the new officers, to the governors, bear with me, and I'm going to tell you where you can find what you got to do and how you got to do it. It is in a book called The Constitution and Laws, Section 35.7. At the first regular meeting, after being installed, the governor shall appoint two members of the lodge. One of whom shall be a chairman to serve with a prelate. The prelate cannot be the chairman. And a prelate is the only officer who can serve on the auditing committee. The three members will serve for 1 year. No other elected officer shall serve. The governor shall demand and receive from the officers or members of the lodge all stocks, bonds, notes, accounts, records, and documents necessary
to enable the auditing committee to conduct an audit and make a full and correct report. The audit committee shall prepare a detailed report of their findings of the lodge membership and financial position, including the funds of all committees, including the house committee, groups, or activities of the lodge. And this is the important part. The report shall be completed within 10 days of the close of the prior month's business and reported at the next general membership meeting. All committee members shall sign the report, and the report shall be maintained in the lodge files for not less than 7 years. Governors, this means you have a task. Unless you already have an auditing committee, you better be getting one. If you have one, are they doing the job we just described? There are many lodges in financial trouble throughout the fraternity. Many of the problems we can blame on the economy. But a functioning audit committee who does their job will prevent any other deficiencies in your financial status. The best way to describe the importance of this job and that committee is CYA. And if you know what that means, I'm going to change it. It's cover your assets. Good day.
Thank you, Bob. We'll have Jim Colby now on Tiny Moose, then our drawings, then we'll recess for the day. I do want to remind everybody that we have a 25 club party, and it's in honor of Ed Del Sasso. So, and the doors will open at 6:30, so we hope everybody will be there.
Well, Dave said we got another hour to kill, so who else would you want up here? Tommy Moose, how many lodges have had Tommy Moose? We've got quite a few lodges. How many has not taken the time to even order Tommy Moose or don't know anything about it? How many are lying? Raise your hand. Tommy Moose started years ago by one of our Supreme Governors. This gentleman thought enough in their state, Connecticut, to start Tommy Moose, mainly for the firemen, the police officers, and the ambulance service. How many times have you seen where younger kids were involved in accidents, distress situations, and to calm them down, how many stories have you heard or seen or read in the international publication of Tommy Moose being used? What a thing for $75, and I think it's just going up to $80 now, I think. I knew it was going, but I didn't want to scare you. But anyhow, where can you go for $80 and give these out to your firemen, you know, the police officers, and your ambulance service? For those lodges that are not involved in this program, take the time to get in your community. What a great community service project. I was going to bring that up to Marlon, my other's 4-hour speech. But isn't it great that we can get in the community, show them that we care? That's what community service is. Working with the community. I know I've done it for the Ann Arbor Police Department, and they're happy. We do it for the state troopers, some of the sheriff's department. And all we do is put them in a big plastic bag, and they put them in the trunk of their car for the police department. And normally, most of you probably would go through more than a dozen a year. $75 or $80. So if you have not had the chance to work with your local law enforcement or fire department, take the time. Give them a call. If not, take one down to the fire station. About time if you haven't met your fire chief or your police chief. Let them know you're in town. Tell them you got something to offer. I guarantee you very few of them will turn it down if you're going to give them something free. I know I've been to a lot of lodges events and a lot of presentations over the last 5 years. And I think every lodge that has done it, I think for mileage it goes a long way. You got one tomorrow, you said? Presentation tomorrow, too, for Tommy Moose. But like I said, if you haven't done it, take the time. And about a year ago, I don't know what the final totals are, but I know at one time, about a year ago, there was over 100,000 of them given out. And they're still growing. So like I said, take the time when you go back, especially the new governors going in. The administrators, I know you don't sit around because I'm an administrator, so I don't have time to do a lot either. But as a new governor or community service chairman, let them go out to the community. Let them work the community. Let's start with Tommy Moose. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for our drawings.
I'm going to start out with a TV raffle first. It's a blue ticket. TV raffle first. Number 912-571. You'll have to come to me. 50-50s now. Yellow ticket. 349-392. 349-392. 349-513, also yellow. 349-513, white ticket. 833-372. 833-372. Another white ticket. 833-363. 833-363. Pink ticket. 220-046. 220-046. Another pink ticket. 220-152. 220-152. Green ticket. 492-401. Another green ticket. 492-423. Blue ticket, 043-732. Another blue ticket, 043-454. Come see me.
Okay, I want to remind everybody there are the Ooga Ooga cards will be in the store, plus other Ooga Ooga t-shirts. Okay. All right. 1 second. Any final thoughts, Mr. Coffey?
I just want to let you guys know that I've got some extra preferred member posters up here. I know some of you have run out of them. I got a couple of them up here. Just help yourself.
Okay, Ooga Ooga is going to start at 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock tonight. It is on the F floor in room 1021.
Bob Lewandowski, if you're still in the hall, please come up to the AV table. Bob Lewandowski.
Let's gotta do it.